picks his way to the right and is tripped up, reaching for the end zone. Touchdown. What a start.
Give it to Reed, and there he goes. Nobody's going to catch him. Touchdown.
It's caught. Jeremiah Smith. Touchdown, Ohio State. The legend grows.
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast.
All right, welcome in, everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Tuesday evening here, getting ready for a completely loaded week five of the college football season. Again, I don't know about you guys. I'm having a hard time getting ready for it. Again, those of you who know, I'm a Georgia fan. We got our big matchup with Alabama this weekend. You guys know how every one of us Georgia and Alabama fans get about that kind of matchup. But then there's loads of great matchups elsewhere. Obviously, the Oregon-Penn State game comes to mind, and it's so much to prepare for. And it feels like there's even less time this week than normal to like just think about our fantasy teams and stuff like that. But that is, of course, what we're making time to do here tonight. Again, welcome back to another one of these live streams. For those of you that might be joining us that are new tonight or haven't been a part of one of these shows, basically what we are doing here is this is effectively an office hours where you guys come in, ask me questions, whether it is start sit questions that typically makes up the majority of the questions that you guys throw out to me here, but also just general questions. We got a couple of those tonight, actually, as I look through some of y'all that have left questions early here, and y'all left a lot of questions early. Again, you guys have pretty much figured out that's a pretty good way of making sure that your question gets onto the show is by leaving in the chat ahead of time. And again, I will try to get through as many of these as possible within the next hour. We did start a couple of minutes late. That is my fault. I lost track of time just a little bit, but it is totally good. We'll try to fly through these. Again, we'll have a couple of things to reference tonight. Again, I have our Campus of Canton weekly CFF projections for you guys. I will also be putting every one of these questions, at least until like the last 10 minutes, into the chat for you guys to chime in as well. In addition, something I've been wanting to work on with these streams the last couple of weeks is having a bit more of a back and forth with you guys. I didn't like the fact that because I have to keep my chat, you know, on one screen so far from, you know, the live portion of the chat just to be able to see the questions, that I can't see you guys reacting to my analysis or any or feedback or whatever it is as much as I want. So I actually have two chats open today to try to improve that for you guys. But anyway, I'm rambling here. Let me get through the spiel and everything. Again, you guys know what we are. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus of Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday morning and Tuesday night during the season. If you want to support the great work we do here, head on over to campusofcanton.com. Subscribe there with any of our phenomenal tiers. We got content ranging on all sorts of college football games, whether it's CFF, Devy, C2C, College IDP, College DFS, Underdog, Best Ball. Really, if you play it, then we've got content, whether it's tools, rankings, pretty much everything you need to succeed. In fact, right now, if you want to support the show even further, indirectly, make sure when you sign up for one of our yearly membership tiers, use the promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y, to get 10% off your yearly membership. Again, that is promo code Natty, N-A-T-T-Y. If you can't do that, totally fine. Just show us some love by leaving a like, a comment, and a subscribe on the YouTube side of things. If you're on the podcast side of things, just make sure you're following the show. Leave a 5-star review where you can. Not only does that show us support, but also the game of college fantasy in general support. If you want to get in contact for whatever reason, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. Y'all, let's dive on into this. We got a lot of great questions tonight. So let me pull up our projections. Let's pull up everything we need here. Like I said, we got the projections. We'll be referencing DraftKings, over-unders tonight. I've got defensive ratings pulled up here for us to reference easily. I got PFF and stuff like that. So if you guys got questions and stuff like that, let them rip. We'll start with Hoover for Heisman's question tonight here, Frog Fan. He doesn't ask a true like start sit question in terms of like, you know, this guy or that guy. He's just asking in general, and I'm sure a lot of you are facing this similar dilemma, and that is, are Denzel Boston, wide receiver for Washington, and Damon Claiborne, running back at Wake Forest, are they must sits this week? And a lot of this has to do with their matchups, right? Denzel Boston has been absolutely phenomenal if I remember correctly, he is easily in the top end of wide receivers this year. If I could pull that up real quick. Where are you, Boston? Can't find him. Thought he was up near the top here. He's wide receiver 39, but I'm fairly certain it's because he had a bye week. Let's see what he is in terms of fantasy points per game. Can't find it. This is going swimmingly. Yeah, he's wide receiver 17 on the year, so top 20 wide receiver. Very much could end up being a top 12 wide receiver by the end of the year. And, you know, this matchup against Ohio State's obviously tough, right? Ohio State's one of the toughest defenses that really any Big Ten's going to have to face. I can't remember, are they on the road or are they at Washington? I'm fairly certain it's on the road against Ohio State. Where are you? No, it's at Washington. Okay, so there's a little bit of benefit there, but I'm going to say between the two, I definitely would rather sit Boston than Ohio State. There's a lot of great wide receivers or even good wide receivers on the waiver wire this week. Again, available still in a lot of leagues, so I would go check out that, see if you can find anybody that you like a little bit better. Claiborne, I don't think is a must sit at all. I mean, Georgia Tech, yes, they look good against Clemson, but pretty much everybody's looked good against Clemson so far. That's a team that's just kind of falling apart, especially on offense. So, yeah, Georgia Tech's defense looks solid against them, but, like, again, everybody's looked solid against Clemson's offense so far. They gave up, like, what, 21, 24 points to Temple last week? Trust me, I'm fully aware because I saw my DST for Georgia Tech go down several points throughout that game. So, Tech is not an impenetrable defense at all. Yes, I'm a little worried after seeing, you know, Claiborne, you know, not break 40 rushing yards against NC State. But he'll still find points. Again, especially in a PPR league, I think Claiborne's more than fine. If Temple's able to put up 3 touchdowns on Georgia Tech, I can see Wake Forest getting to 3 touchdowns, and I can bet you that Claiborne will be at least 1 to 2 of those. So I think Claiborne's fine. I think Boston, definitely, I would heavily consider sitting this week. But who knows? Washington could possibly go off against them. Let me see. Again, let's look at the team total here. So over under 51.5. Ohio State favored by about 8.5 points here. So, yeah, they're giving Washington about 3 touchdowns roughly in terms of a team total. So, like, I could see that, especially if Washington's playing from behind. That could still benefit Boston. So, like, again, must sit? No. Heavily consider sitting Boston, though. All right. Let's get to our first, like, true start-sit question of the night. We'll go with Brad Glaser's question here. He needs to start one quarterback, and he is deciding between Kalen Green out of Arkansas, who is going up against Notre Dame this week, or we can go with Sawyer Robertson, quarterback out of Baylor, going up against Oklahoma State. It is a 4-point passing touchdown league, and you've got two guys that are near the top in terms of CFF production so far this year. Again, I know Kalen Green's currently sitting there at number one. Sawyer Robertson down here at QB9. Can't say numbers tonight. Totally fine. And you got two great matchups, right? I mean, Oklahoma State's about to fall apart. Mike Gundy just got fired earlier today. I highly doubt that whatever interim head coach that's coming in, I think it was, I can't remember his name. I think Beecham is his name, something like that. Basically, I don't think he's going to be able to get things turned around, at least in week one. Baylor should roll in that game, should absolutely put up some points in that game. And then, you know, ask me preseason, would I like this matchup for Green against Notre Dame? I would have said hell no, but man, Chris Ash, like, I don't know what he's doing in the Notre Dame defense, but it has not looked good these first couple of weeks. And Arkansas has already shown that they're more than happy to get themselves in a shootout. It bit them a little bit last week against Memphis. But even still, like, I don't think the issues on Notre Dame's defense is really going away here anytime soon. And just for me, considering just how on fire Green has been to start this year, even passing the SEC early SEC test against Ole Miss and putting up huge numbers in that game as well, I think you just got to keep riding with Green, especially with this being a 4-point passing touchdown league. You know, rushing quarterbacks are going to benefit a little bit more there. And so that, again, is another point in favor of Green. So I personally would lean Green over Robertson. Let's see what the projections. I don't even have to go down that far. They are right here. Robertson's our QB2 on the week. Taylor Green's our QB3. Projections has them 0.07 apart. again, I would personally lean towards Green just because of the rushing threat versus Robertson doesn't have that nearly as much. But chat seems to disagree with me. Chat, y'all are voting in the chat there, and y'all currently have Robertson edging out Green in terms of the voting. So, you know, Brad, you're basically looking at a dead tie in terms of the projections. I lean Green. The chat leans Robertson. You can decide which one you think you trust the most. So we'll go ahead and end that poll. And let's go ahead and move on to our second question here from Tom Cross, who needs us to sit one. So we got a who would you sit question. Who would you sit? Copy that for future use here. And he is asking Montgomery, Miles Montgomery, who is going up against Kansas State this week. Again, another team that is heavily, heavily struggling. We got Anthony Smith going up against Army, or we have, I can't type today, excuse me, y'all. Or we have Daryl Gill going up against Duke. This is a full PPR league, so that definitely helps out the wide receivers quite a bit here. And I think I'll go ahead and start with just looking at what the projections have to say here, because Montgomery, man, it's been a bit of a wild roller coaster with him, because week one it looked like he was going to be a clear workhorse back, and then, you know, he had an FCS game in there, and, you know, the carry shares are always kind of weird in the game like that. And then this past week, it really felt like it kind of took a while for him to get going. And so our projections have this very close. 13.4 for Miles Montgomery, Daryl Gill at 13.9, Anthony Smith at 14 points. And these projections are based on a full PPR scoring system, so I can't even like kind of adjust everything. So basically now what I would do is I would kind of take a look at these matchups, right? The matchup that kind of screams out to me is Syracuse versus Duke. Again, ACC opponents or ACC matchups this year, I really think are going to be one of the cream of the crop when it comes to CFF, when it comes to just CFF production. And so let's take a look at that Syracuse Duke game. I think I would imagine a decently high over under in that game. Yeah, 60.5, pretty solid over under there. Duke only favored by 5.5 points, so both teams expected to score there. Gill is the deep threat. He is getting a lot of those high-value targets for Syracuse, so I think that's a pretty solid play. Versus East Carolina, I'll just look it up via Army. Yeah, they play Thursday night. Again, over under 52.5. East Carolina favored by 5.5. You know, you got multiple options there. Same with Syracuse, right? But again, a lower-scoring game, so I think I'm going to lean towards Gill over Smith and disagree with the projections here. And then that leaves Miles Montgomery, right? UCF versus Kansas State. Let's see if I can find that game here real quick. Yep, here we go. Over under 49.5. So lowest scoring game of the bunch here. Kansas State favored by about a touchdown. So you're looking at, again, roughly about 3 touchdowns for UCF. Again, if you trust that Miles Montgomery will get one of those touchdowns, I think it's not a terrible bet. I'd be okay playing him. Also, let me double check. Just forgive me again. I'm not able to recall things as quickly as I want to tonight. But let me take a look at how many targets Miles Montgomery. He's only had 8 targets on the season in 3 games. So I was kind of hoping that would benefit him a little bit more. Obviously, he's been very explosive when they do pass to him, but you need volume, especially in a PPR format. So I think I'm gonna lean towards Gill here. And I think I'm going to lean towards Smith as well. He'll still lead that wide receiver room for East Carolina. And then the PPR points, I think, is going to swing me towards the receivers in this one and stay away from the relatively lower scoring effort of UCF and Kansas State here. Also, Tom, I forgot to acknowledge your second part of your message. You said greetings from your international audience in the UK. Tom, I appreciate you joining me from the UK. It is Tom, what time is it, man, in the UK? It's like, what, 6 hours ahead? 5 hours ahead of us on the east coast of the U.S. So that, good lord, man, it's got to be like 1-2 o'clock in the morning for you. I appreciate you taking your time to drop your question and everything for the show, but man, it's probably real late for you. So let's keep it going with questions here. We'll go ahead and end the one above. And the chat, by the way, says to sit Anthony Smith and to start Montgomery. The chat seems to like Montgomery a lot this weekend. So, and I get it. Again, running backs have more volume, but I do think the PPR points help the receivers there a lot. So we'll end that question. Let's move on to Joshua Jeffcoat. He says, start two running backs in 6-point touchdown league. Let's go ahead and get the question up and rolling here just so that I can fill it out as I am reading it aloud to you guys. So he would like to know between McGowan, who is going up against, you know, South Carolina, a.k.a. USC Jr. We got Micah Ford, the running back out of Stanford, going up against San Jose. Or we can go with Relik Brown, the running back out of Kansas State, going up against TCU. So who would I sit among these three? This isn't like a matchup thing for me, or like a lot of times I'm kind of looking at matchups, I'm kind of looking at, you know, your volume and stuff like that. But for me, I think my immediate answer here is Relik Brown, mostly due to the fact that I think that Arizona State backfield is still quite unsettled, considering I don't think we truly know what's going to happen once Kyson Brown is back. He got a couple of carries last week, so he's pretty clearly close to being back. Does that mean he comes in and turns in a performance that makes it to where, you know, Relik Brown is now like put back onto the bench? It is a tasty matchup there with Arizona State and TCU. I have to imagine that that is a pretty high over-under here. Let's see if I can find that real quick. Yeah, over-under 55.5, so pretty solid. Not as high as I was kind of hoping for and everything. And then the other two, though, with McGowan and Ford, I think you have two very clear guys that are at the top of their depth charts right now. Yes, South Carolina is not the best matchup in the world, and I have to imagine that that is probably not a great over-under game there. Again, yeah, 45.5, not great, but that's also the kind of games where a lot of running backs typically thrive, especially when they are kind of the clear lead backs for them. So I think that McGowan should still be pretty safe. And then Stanford, just for craps and giggles here, let's, yeah, so again, they're favored by 2.5 points, over under 49.5, but like Ford is basically the entire offense for Stanford at this point, so I think he'll be fine. Let's see what the projections have to say. I'm curious to see where they go with this. Let's put up Relik Brown. Let's take a look at McGowan. And let's take a look at Ford. Yo. All right, so projections have Ford the lowest at about 11.3 fantasy points, and Relik Brown the highest at 14.9, and Seth McGowan at 14.5. Again, I personally disagree with it a little bit, but again, if Kyson Brown is still limited and, you know, Relik Brown continues to be the lead back for Arizona State over Kanye Udoh, or at least if there's a healthy split between those two, then yeah, Brown could easily eat very well this week. But at the same time, I do think there's a little legitimate concern about what happens when Kyson Brown comes back into this rotation. So I would play it safe. I would go McGowan. I would go Ford. And then just hold on to Relik until we figure out what's exactly going to happen here with Kyson Brown. So the chat seems to agree. The chat is saying sit Relik Brown, although it's a relatively close vote between him and Ford. I'm going to go ahead and end that poll. And we can go ahead and move on to the next question, which comes to us from CFF Tactician. And he is saying start one in a full PPR league. He is choosing between Yacine Willis and Demond Claiborne. So we had a question earlier in the show about, you know, like, would I sit Demond Claiborne? Well, we're about to find out exactly how much I believe in Demond Claiborne as soon as I get this question into the chat. There we go. All right. So the answer is this is one of those matchups where Georgia Tech is a good enough defense where I do think that sitting Claiborne here makes a little bit of sense. Willis is the clear like lead back for Syracuse. It's going to be a relatively high, or it's going to be a very high scoring game between Duke and Syracuse. Willis missed out on a touchdown last week. I doubt we have another week where he is fed the rock as much as he was last week and he still doesn't find the end zone. Versus Claiborne, again, obviously had that great game a couple weeks ago, but again, that first matchup against NC State does make me worry just a little bit, enough to where I would rather play somebody safer like Willis over Claiborne. That's where I'm at. The chat seems to disagree with me heavily here, and you guys are leaning towards Claiborne. I totally get it, man. You pay the price for him in drafts. You want to keep starting him. I get it, but like if these are your two options, I would rather go Willis. Projections have these two very, very close. Willis at 15.6 fantasy points, Claiborne at 15.7. You're talking about RB 21 and 26 on the week here. And so, again, whichever one you go with, I don't think is a bad choice. Again, the chat very heavily leaning Claiborne here with almost 80. Nope, looks like we're down to about 75% of the vote. Even still, I think both are fine options here, but I'm gonna lean towards Willis here because I just trust that matchup just a little bit more. So, quick question, but I didn't really have a ton to say, so we're gonna go ahead and end that poll. Sorry if you didn't get your vote in, but we got a lot of questions to get through, and I realize that we are literally already a third of the way through the show tonight, so I want to make sure that I am getting to as many people as I can. Let's go ahead and bring up the next poll, and we're going to go ahead and discuss a start question. So who would we start among these three options? This one comes to us from Anderson Brookhart. He is asking between Brendan Lewis, who is going up against FAU, or we can go with Jake Retzlaff going up against, who is Tulane facing this week? They got Tulsa, that's right. And then our last option here is Dwayne Coleman versus East Carolina. So I think you got three very legitimate options here. It is a 6-point passing touchdown league. And when you got three dual threats like this, I do think that 6-point passing is going to eliminate Coleman here for me, even though I do think Coleman has the highest floor. Just because the last two starts we've seen from Coleman, he's had over 100 yards rushing, right? So that's going to be huge no matter if you're in a 4-point passing touchdown or a 6-point passing touchdown league. But let's be real. Do we really expect Coleman to have, you know, more than one touchdown passing, right? I don't necessarily think so versus Retzlaff and Brendan Lewis, I think, have a higher ceiling when it comes to that regard. And I think, you know, Coleman, I can expect three touchdowns out of versus Lewis and Retzlaff have the 4 or 5 touchdown ceiling here as we get into it. So, do we want to start with projections or take a look at the matchups via over-unders? I say, we'll start with projections. You guys like projections. So, let's get Brendan Lewis up here. Let's get Retzlaff up here. And let's get Wayne Coleman. I should probably have, there we go. Go. All right. So again, we got. Yeah, so this is. So our projections here are based off 6-point passing touchdowns here. And so, and again, they're basically showing the same thing that I was kind of thinking. Dwayne Coleman would be the loser because of that stat right there, down at 21.14 fantasy points compared to Brendan Lewis at 23.9 and Retzlaff up there at 25.6. So I think it's a pretty easy sit. For Coleman, it's just a matter of which one do we start between Brendan Lewis and Retzlaff. What I think we can take a look at then is our handy-dandy over-unders, right? Do we not have an over-under for Tulane and Tulsa? What the heck happened here? Where'd all my bets go? That was weird. Anyway. There we go. All right, so over under 53.5. Not great, but, you know, Tulane favored by about 2 touchdowns there, so we can at least expect Tulane to get plenty of points there. Taking a look at that, just doing the math real quick, 27 plus 8, so you're going to look at about 35 points, so about 5 touchdowns. Given the fact that Tulane just has zero, like, lead back that has emerged there, I think you can still, like, if you're giving Tulane 5 touchdowns, there's a very good shot that Retzlaff's getting at least 4 out of the 5 there, so I like that quite a bit. And then looking at Memphis and Florida Atlantic, Very good over-under here, 63.5. Memphis favored by 2 touchdowns, so the team total is definitely favoring Memphis here. The problem is they got a stud at running back with Sutton Smith, who's starting to emerge. They got other options that can fall into the end zone, although Brendan Lewis himself, being a rushing quarterback, can definitely get plenty there. I'm personally leaning towards Lewis still. The only thing that I might consider now is, let me get, just go ahead and take a look at the defensive stats. So passing-wise, Florida Atlantic, very average among the country. Again, these are raw stats. I wish I had a better way to, you know, measure out defenses in terms of who they've played so far, but I don't have that right here in front of me. And then, so yeah, Florida Atlantic's about average. And then let's see, Tulsa much better on defense in terms of the passing, but these are two running quarterbacks. So let's see what we are giving, what we're giving up in the run games here. Tulsa, pretty rough, down in the bottom, you know, bottom 30 in the country here. And then let's see, Florida Atlantic, 84th. Okay. So I think overall still the matchup is definitely favoring Memphis and Brendan Lewis there. So I would say I'd personally go with Brendan Lewis. The chat, in terms of their votes, although we could definitely use a few more votes if you guys are listening and have not voted yet, the chat's definitely favoring Retzlaff as of this moment. So, Anderson, I hope that answers your question, and we're going to go ahead and move on from here. So, end of that poll. Moving on to Joe Webb 3. He is asking us to start 3 wide receivers. And let me go ahead and pull up that poll, and he's asking us to sit one of them. So, Joe, who would you sit? He is asking us to decide between Denzel Boston going up against Ohio State. That was one of our first questions there, right? We got Miles Davis going up against Vanderbilt this week. And then last but not least, we have Lewis Bond going up against Cal. So I'll throw that poll into the chat again. Is a who would you sit question? And I think the easy answer here is Lewis Bond. Especially, did you say if this was PPR? It's half PPR. Still half PPR. Bond has, forgive my camera tonight. For some reason, it is just not behaving and it is not wanting to sit still at all. So forgive me, y'all. I don't know why it's acting this way. There we go. Anyway, sorry for that dead air for a second there. Anyway, yeah, Bond in half PPR format. He's been getting a ton of volume. I think he's a safe play here. That's a good matchup with Boston College and Cal there. I think he'll be fine. The question now becomes, do I trust Boston, who is a stud, going up against Ohio State, or do I go with Miles Davis up against Vanderbilt, as well as him being a potential cheat code? Let's see what the projections have to say. Miles Davis, pretty good there, you know, 14.2 points. Boston projections, still like him quite a bit. Wide receiver 14 on the week. And then, again, our last option was Lewis Bond. Yeah, our projections love Lewis Bond this week. Wide receiver 6 on the week. So I would definitely start Bond. And then there's a matter of Miles Davis versus Boston. I don't trust Miles Davis this week. In terms of, again, Utah State playing up against Vanderbilt. They were fine against Texas A&M, but Vanderbilt, it seems like, is on just an absolute tear right now, especially against teams that, you know, are talent-wise inferior to them. So I do wonder if Utah State's going to really be able to put up that many points. Actually, let me check to see what Vegas is thinking on that front. Yeah, Vanderbilt favored by, you know, 22 points, so almost 3.5 touchdowns, over-under 59.5, so you're looking at, you know, 18 to 20 points for Utah State. That's not a great team total in terms of what I can bet on for Miles Davis this week. Because, you know, Bryson Barnes tends to keep the ball around the goal line. He actually leads the team in rushing share so far over Miles Davis. So that's rough. But then, the question with Bond is, like, he's going up against Ohio State. There's, like, two ways you could think about this, right? Where You know, Boston's the clear leading wide receiver for Washington. If they're going to have a chance against beating Ohio State, he needs to go off. They're going to feed him a ton in this game and make sure he gets his opportunities, which is great. Problem is, Ohio State's incredibly talented, and they know that's exactly what Washington's going to try to do. And so they're going to try to make sure they take Boston out of the game as much as possible. But again, I really just don't like that matchup with Davis against Vanderbilt this week. So I say go with Bond, and I do agree with the projections. Let's go with Boston here. Let's bet on a guy just being an absolute stud here. And yeah, that is my stance. And according to the chat, people are very much tied between Davis and Boston. It's exactly where my thoughts are, right? Where there's a legitimate question between Boston and Davis, which would you sit here? I say lean on the talent. So we will end that poll. And we are about halfway through the show, so unfortunately, I need to gather my thoughts and make sure I get myself hydrated here. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to throw this over to a little break screen. I'm also going to play an ad for you guys, and then we'll be right back to it in about 30 seconds. So be patient with me, y'all, but I got to take a break. So be right back. All right, we are back, y'all. Sorry for that. It took me a little longer to get the next question ready. Although, I do need to make sure that I answer Joe's second question here, which, again, is not another start-sit question, but he did ask, like, do I think Dylan Riley is the RB1 now at Boise? I kind of laid out my thoughts in the start-sit show earlier this, or not the start-sit, the waiver wire show earlier this week, where I don't think what Riley's doing is nothing, right? Like, I don't think he's a waiver trap or anything like that. I think he's worth a shot picking up. I just have it in the back of my head that you still got two really good backs there in Sire Gaines and Malik Sherrod, and this feels like a hot hand situation rather than, you know, Riley truly taking over that backfield right now, and especially since apparently Gaines has been banged up the last couple of weeks, so now he's apparently healthy again. I think that Riley is a fine pickup if you believe in him, but do I think he's the definitive RB1 for Boise? Like, in terms of just raw carries, yes, he is, but also at the same time, like, could next week be the Gaines week? Could the week after be the Sherrod week? I think that's the kind of thing we're trying to avoid here. So let's move on to David Burley's question here, and he is asking us to, let's see, yeah, who would we start between three different running backs here? We have Yacine Willis, once again, going up against Duke. We got Wayshon Parker going up against West Virginia, a very favorable matchup there, and then LeSean Williams going up against Cincinnati. So again, who would y'all start among those three options? I think all three are Big 12 versus Big 12 or ACC versus AC, which again, all three are very favorable matchups in terms of CFF production there. So I do understand the position here of why you would be struggling to pick between these three. Let's go ahead and just check to see where the projections are lying here, because I really think all three of these are great. I think the easy sit for me is Parker, just because he would, at least theoretically, has the least volume of this bunch coming into the week, right? Like, although projections seem to disagree, they've got him at RB19 this week, but it, like, let me pull up his stuff, because again, he's been great in terms of getting the touchdowns, but in terms of the volume, it's not quite exactly what we've really been wanting. Yeah, I mean, look at it: 6 attempts, 9 attempts, 6 attempts, 11 attempts. His receiving has definitely been there. Well, actually, receiving, not as much. So, again, the volume's just not really been in there as much for Wayshon Parker as we would want. So I would actually say he's the easy sit of this bunch. And then you have LeSean Williams and Yacine Willis. Again, favorable matchups, both of them, like Kansas, Cincinnati, Syracuse, Duke, should be high scoring, both of them. I think you lean towards Willis here, though, mostly because he's the proven volume of the two versus what we think LeSean's about to get because of Daniel Hyshaw being injured, at the very least banged up. It seemed like, theoretically, Williams should be getting a ton of carries this upcoming week, but Willis, we've seen it happen quite a bit. Let me just double check these matchups as well real quick. I know the Syracuse-Duke one, it has an over-under higher than 60. Let me take a look at the Kansas-Cincinnati game. If I can find it. There it is. Yeah, a respectable over-under of 55.5. Kansas only favored by 4.5, so should be plenty of scores in that one. But I think I'm going to lean towards Willis here. The chat agrees with me with about 3/4 of people going with Willis over LeSean Williams and Parker being the easy sit. I think everybody kind of agrees with that. So, David, hope that answers your question here. Let's keep it going here. Let's go with Shay's question. Shay is asking, Shay's asking Ty Edwards versus Utah, Turbo Richard versus Cal, or Gavin Sawchuk versus Virginia. Sawchuk's an interesting one, right? Because I do love me a Gus Malzahn RB1, and he's scored plenty of touchdowns, and I think he's starting to emerge as the RB1 for Florida State moving forward. But at the same time, we haven't really seen that RB1 volume that we've really wanted to see, right? So, like, if I pull up Sawchuk here real quick, if I can spell his name correctly. I still can't spell his name correctly. Evan. There we go. So, yeah, I mean, the receiving, obviously, he hasn't got a ton of receiving. But, again, volume, again, here we go. 11 attempts, 8 attempts, 6 attempts. This all looks great. And, again, he's scored a ton of touchdowns, 5 touchdowns through 3 games. If his volume starts to tick up, and if that's going to happen, it's going to start happening this week, right? That's great. I need to see that first. So, I think I'm going to sit Sawchuk. Ty Edwards, banged up. Utah's defense is good. I think I'll sit him as well. I think you go with Turbo Richard, especially if this is a PPR format. Richard has been getting a ton of receiving work. I would go with him, Shay. So, next question comes to us from Andrew Bursey. He says, hey, Jared, thanks for the help last week. I ended up starting Dante McMillan last week and picked up the win. Congratulations to you, Andrew. Glad that we could help you out there. And he says, this week, in a full PPR format, starting McMillan and Kentrell Bullock, awesome. I think those are good plays. Who would you go with for the last flex spot out of Cedric Alexander going against Utah State, Seth McGowan going up against South Carolina, or Alex Texa going up against Rice? So that is a very, very good question, and I am going to make sure that I put that into the poll, or put a poll in the chat for people to answer that, because I think I would like to hear some variety of responses to that. Let me go ahead and put it and I've lost the question. There we go. So we got Alexander again versus Utah State. We've got McGowan versus USC Junior. And we've got Texa versus Rice. And some of you might be kind of scoffing at the Texa play, but like Texas been very consistent for Navy so far this year. And again, normally I try to stay away from these triple option teams, but these new offensive coordinators for these triple option teams have basically been figuring out the opposite of where Air Force has been going, in the fact that, like, hey, maybe we find a couple of really good guys and keep feeding them the ball over and over again. And it's really starting to show in Army and Navy recently. So very much of enjoying that trend for these triple option teams here. I'm curious, though, where does our projections lie here? So we got Texa, Alexander, and we've got, again, McGowan. So McGowan is the favored one here, about 14.5 in terms of our projected points. Cedric Alexander, not that far behind him with 13.9. Alex Texa, behind both of them, right at 13 points. But again, not a huge gap between these three at all. Alexander, again, is another one of these guys that hasn't gotten the volume we've really wanted over the last couple of weeks, but he keeps finding the end zone, which is a very good thing to have. But at the same time, that's going to dry up eventually. So I would say sit Alexander among these three versus Texa and McGowan have a bit more consistent volume of these two. Let's see. I would say that let's take a look at the matchups. I don't think we're going to expect too high of over-unders for either. Yeah, 43.5, although Navy is favored by 14 points. So again, you're looking at about four touchdowns for Navy. Can I see Texa falling into the end zone with one of those touchdowns? Absolutely. And then, let's see, Kentucky. Kentucky is who I'm for. Wrong Kentucky. There we go. Yeah, I think we looked this up earlier. But yeah, 45.5, very low scoring game here. Kentucky, the touchdown underdog here. So we're looking at, you know, 23-3. So again, about three touchdowns for Kentucky. Let me look at something real quick. Click on the button. And then let's go to Navy real quick. Yeah, so Texas definitely leads them among the rushers, 45, so about 15 attempts per game. And I don't think he gets a ton of receiving work, but he gets enough that it's... No, never mind. He's got two targets. I was confusing him with Heidenreich here. Yeah, I'll just lean towards the higher over-under here. I'd say go Texa over McGowan. And again, like I trust that South Carolina's defense is going to be a lot stingier than Rice's. Actually, you know what? That's probably another good place for us to check real quick. Let's go take a look at the rushing defenses. Rice, where are you at? Pretty average, 63rd. And then South Carolina... Really? South Carolina's pretty far down here. I thought they had a better... I'm trying to think of who they faced so far, though. Virginia Tech. And now I'm blanking on the rest of South Carolina's schedule here. Yeah, also lean Texas. Again, we'll call it vibes. Great analysis. I'm sure that's exactly what you were looking for. The... chat is leaning towards McGowan for whatever it is worth. And again, if I remember correctly, Texas was the lowest among the projections. So currently I'm saying Texas, but you know, the chat and the projections are saying McGowan. So that, you know, is a 2-1. You decide how you want to do that. So, and to follow up your question, Andrew, you were saying like, would you start any of these guys over McMillan and Bullock? No, absolutely not. McMillan and Bullock are easily your best plays, I think, out of that bunch there. So keep with those guys and then go with Texas in that flex spot. So next question here. This one comes to us from Justin Nottingham. And again, this is not a start sit question. It is just him saying thoughts on running back Traquan Jones out of Old Dominion. He had a big game versus Virginia Tech. Can we depend on him going forward, or is it just a one-game wonder? And Justin, I'm going to give you the boring answer here, and that is just that it is too soon to tell. Let's take a look at what exactly Traquan was able to do. Let me make sure I spell his name correctly, and once again, failed epically at that. And I just don't know how to spell his name here. Let's just find him via Sunbelt. Oh, Traquan Jones, not Traquan Jones. I just can't pronounce things at all. Yeah, here's the problem. He had that great game versus Virginia Tech, right? But you know, 13 carries, a huge jump in his attempts since the start of the season. Has looked great the last couple of weeks. Obviously, that game against North Carolina Central there, you know, 160 yards on just four carries, like, that earned him more carries the week after. And, you know, could very well be that this game against Virginia Tech gets him more carries going forward. I think he's fine to pick up. I definitely wouldn't start him this week because I still think there's a lot that staff's still figuring out. And this is a staff that doesn't typically go after one running back unless it's a guy that, you know, completely takes over, which so far Traquan Jones is checking those boxes. But again, too soon for me to really say if he's going to be a guy. I will tell you this, Justin, if he has another good week, he will almost certainly be on the waiver wire show next week. So That's just my general thoughts on that. And we're here in the last 15 minutes, so I'm going to say a quick reminder for all of you guys. Again, appreciate all of you guys joining us tonight. If you're enjoying this content and you enjoy the fact that I'm here for an hour just answering questions as quick as I can, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the notification bell, all those YouTuber things you're supposed to do. Also, I don't know if you guys see this, but every once in a while I see like an option down below, especially on stream sometimes, where it's like, you gotta click it and it's like hype up the stream or whatever. If you've got that, go ahead and do it. It does help us out quite a bit. It basically tells YouTube, like, you know, smaller channels and stuff like that, that, you know, people are really liking what they see, and it does actually give a better boost than, you know, just straight up liking the stream and stuff like that. So if you can do that, help us out with that. That would be great. Todd says W stream. I appreciate it, man. I'm glad I'm helping you guys out. And with that being said, we got a lot of questions still to go through tonight. I don't know if it's just I'm being slower tonight or whatever, but I think we'll try to go ahead and burn through these here at the end. And I think I'm going to go ahead and cut off the polls in the chat here early tonight, because, again, I just see so many questions and I don't want to spend too much time and leave too many people hanging tonight, although we can only do so much. So Tyler Lawrence says, 12-team full PPR league, start one in the flex. Chris Bell, wide receiver out of Louisville, going up against Pitt. Miles Montgomery, running back at UCF, going up against Kansas State. Or Dylan Edwards going up against UCF. I don't trust a lick of what Dylan Edwards is doing right now, so that'd be an easy sit for me. It would come down between Chris Bell and Miles Montgomery there. Let me take a look at that Pitt-Louisville matchup. I'm curious to see what kind of over-under we're getting in that game. Apparently there's so many, I guess there's a lot of Louisiana teams. Yeah, 57.5, pretty solid. Louisville favored by 4.5 points. They basically sat Chris Bell in the second half last week. He got a little banged up, but again, they were very clear that, like, oh, he'll be ready for this week. I think that was a precautionary thing. Based on that rhetoric, it sounds like they're going to need him in this game against Pittsburgh here. So he should get pretty heavily involved. Let's see what projections have him at. Projections have him at wide receiver 55, 13.4 fantasy points. I personally think he can definitely beat that. And then Miles Montgomery going up against Kansas State here. Projections very, actually right next to each other almost in projections. Again, you're talking about a difference of 0.06 projected points. Probably part of the reason why you asked this question, Tyler, is that you saw that these two were very close together and you're like, all right, give me a real answer here. Again, Miles Montgomery, if he had more passing work, I'd probably go with him. But I do think this is a big Chris Bell week. Like, everything's kind of setting up for him to be the clear number one guy for Louisville this week. So I'm going to lean towards Chris Bell. Maybe that's a little bit of bias because I do love Chris Bell. But in a full PPR format, I am going to lean towards wide receivers more often than not because of that. So we'll go with that, Tyler. Jeremy Train, welcome back, sir. He says, hey, Jerry, not a start sit question, but I wanted to know if you would recommend dropping one of Henderson, Claiborne, or Lacey for Cam Edwards in a no PPR six-person league. Which Henderson are we talking about? Is that Emmanuel Henderson, or I'm probably just being dumb. Ooh, is it Al J. Henderson, Jeremy Train? If you're still in the stream, I hope you are, just so I can get a question there. And then Lacey, is that Colin Lacey? Because if it is, then I would definitely drop. Oh, Kiwan, is that Kiwan Lacey you're referring to? That's tough, because Cam Edwards is, okay, so Kiwan Lacey and Al J. Henderson. That's real tough. Again, Al J. Henderson, I think, is, his best days are still ahead of him. He's still done pretty dang well, considering the fact that, you know, schedule has been semi-rough. Kiwan Lacey's obviously been great to start the season. RB6, I definitely wouldn't drop him. Cam Edwards, RB9. And I did some projections work earlier, and he's got almost 60% of touches in that backfield when you adjust for some of the noise in terms of those carries in that backfield. LJ Anderson down here at RB22. Again, I think his best days are ahead of him. He'll probably rise up the rankings as the season goes along. And then there's Claiborne down here at running back 49. He had that huge week and a great week and a good week the week after. It's tough. I do think, though, that, like, no PPR, I think you still, I think I would, in a league like this, this is not general advice, let me be very clear here, in a league like this, a six-person league, and I do play in a league like this, so I kind of understand the mindset that you're having to go through here, you have to be way harsher in a league like that, in a six-person league, Claiborne not getting it done, at least to the same degrees as some of these other guys. As I pointed out, Cam Edwards is running back 9 so far in the season, and UConn's schedule doesn't get much harder from here, and he's got the volume. I would say drop Claiborne, add Edwards in that type of league, Jeremy Train. So hope that answers your question. Let's move on to Austin Wood's question here. He says, hey, Jared. Hey, Austin. Start one running back, full PPR here. Braylon McReynolds versus Arkansas State. Dylan Riley versus App State, or Keewon Lacy versus LSU. Thank you. Keewon Lacy has been phenomenal so far this year, but I'm not sure I love that matchup versus LSU. Dylan Riley, I talked about him earlier. It is tough to know exactly what's going to happen this week. You've already got him on your roster, Austin, so I would say play it safe. Sit him for this week. Just see what kind of happens, although this is a pretty solid matchup against App State this week. And then you got Braylon McReynolds, clear RB1 for Bryant Vincent, going up against Arkansas State, who just lost to Kennesaw State last week. If you're losing to Kennesaw State, you're probably not that great of a team. And so I would say, just on his face, McReynolds is my play here. Let's see what projections have to say here. McReynolds, Riley, and Lacy. So Lacy is favored in our projections, 16.6 fantasy points, Riley at 14.7, and McReynolds at 13.9. I'm going the opposite of rankings. I'd probably go McReynolds and Lacy than Riley in terms of the order in which I would start them in. But let's take a look at that Arkansas State ULM matchup. 53.5. ULM favored by 1.5 points. So again, plenty of opportunities to score there. If there's plenty of opportunities to score in a UL Monroe game, I would trust that Brian Vincent's RB1 is going to put any touchdowns there. So I see a very safe floor for McReynolds there versus, again, Boise. That should be another high scoring matchup here. 60.5. Boise favored by almost 2.5 touchdowns. That's pretty crazy. So we'll have to wonder how much Riley will get run if it is going to be a near blowout like that. And then again, Ole Miss versus LSU, lowest over under of the three here, but 54.5 still isn't bad. So you got three good options there, but I would go McReynolds, then Lacy, then Riley, Austin. So hope that answers your question. CD, another welcome back, CD. I think this is the second week you've asked a DST question, but I kind of like it. It's a good break in the conversation here. You say Mizzou versus UMass, Indiana versus Iowa, or Utah versus West Virginia. I wouldn't trust Indiana versus Iowa. Iowa, I think, offense is a little bit better than people are kind of giving it credit for. And so of those three matchups, I see Iowa having the highest team total by the end of the game. I don't think you need to overthink this, CD. I think just go with Mizzou. They're an SEC defense. They've been pretty solid this year. They're going up against UMass, a team that is, if I remember correctly, I think I looked it up, like, their offense is legitimately one of the worst in the country. And so Mizzou should have an easy time keeping them pretty low. So I would just go Mizzou of those bunch. So keeping it rolling here, trying to get as many questions in before we hit 9 o'clock here. Human Ziggy says, Rocco Beck, Noah Fifita, Jaden Daniels, or Trinidad Chambliss, pick 2 quarterbacks. Ziggy, you're breaking my rules here, man. You're giving me 4 quarterbacks. I need you to narrow it down to 3. That was what I forgot to go over at the start of the show. So you know what, Ziggy? That's on me. So I'm going to still answer this question here. Let's see. You also didn't give me your matchups. Okay, so Arizona and Iowa State going up against each other, 48.5 points. I don't really love that. Kansas is a much better matchup there in terms of pointage, Cincinnati, yeah. And then Chambliss going up against LSU. I don't love Chambliss going up against LSU. That's his first, like, true, real defense that he'll be facing, so it's kind of hard to tell exactly what's going to happen there. I think Jaden Daniels is an easy start among these 4 quarterbacks. I would go Chambliss. I just don't really like that Arizona and Iowa State matchup. Feels like a very low-scoring affair for the most part, so I would avoid. Tim Jones knows, says, start 2 flex here. Brazil at Mississippi State, Lewis Bond versus Cal, Beatty versus USC, LJ Martin at Colgate. Is that Cal? Or who's BYU playing this week? Colorado. Colgate. What is wrong with me? Again, Tim, you're breaking my rules, man. You got more than 3 players. But again, it's fine. I forgot to go over the rules, so I'll forgive you. Start 2 flex. again, Brazil against Mississippi State, I think that'll be a relatively high-scoring matchup, so I like that quite a bit. Beattie got banged up a little bit last week, so I would maybe sit him compared to, like, Bond and LJ Martin. I would say him, if you didn't, put in this chat whether it's PPR or not, and I will just tell you this. If it's non-PPR, I'll go with the running back and LJ Martin going up against Colorado. If it is full PPR, I would absolutely go with Lewis Bond over Cal. Lewis Bond doesn't even need to find the end zone for him to have a good week because he's had 10-plus targets in each of the last 2 weeks, so his PPR points will definitely help you out a lot there. Andrew Brock, he says, let's go with a tight end start sit. Love tight end start sits. Let's do this. He says, Jeremiah Franklin versus Cal, Dan Villari versus Duke, or Royer at Kansas. Two PPR, start one. He drops Sadiq. I mean, yeah, I still think Sadiq's best games are ahead of him here, but at the same time, I don't blame you when you got really good options here. You've loaded up on these guys. Let's see what projections have to say here. Obviously, you know, you got the two PPR, so we're probably going to lean towards volume a little bit more for these guys. Royer's at number four for tight ends at 12.6. Franklin's at 12, and Villari's at, you know, just under 12. So, again, three top 10 tight ends here, Andrew. So, projections say that you're good no matter what, basically, as much as you can trust a tight end, right? I would go with Franklin, though. Again, with 2-point PPR, you're going to value volume over all else. And so I would say, you know, Franklin over the last couple of weeks, if I can pull up his, let's see how fast I can do this. Go, found him. So let's take a look at his target. Yeah, targets over the last couple of weeks. Again, 12, or, dadgummit. There you go, yeah. 6, 12, 9, you know. Just look at his receptions the last couple weeks. 12 points, 18 points, 12 points. We don't need to make this more complicated than it needs to be, Andrew. I would just go with the guy who's getting the most volume in Franklin. So, all right, we got 2 minutes left. See if we can squeeze a few more questions in here. Andrew says, at least Jared gets a break from Malachi Tony starts the questions. That is true. We have not had a single Malachi. Well, Herp Derp, Miami's on bye. This is how you guys know that I'm tired. Let's squeeze one more in here. We got Broskiologi, he says, Eric McAllister playing Arizona State, Miles Montgomery playing Kansas State. My other options, Desmond Reed, Kevin Coleman, Raphael Williams, Jamar Taylor, possible. Ty Edwards for flex. So you're basically down between Eric McAllister, Miles Montgomery. I would go with Eric McAllister. I think last week was a sign of things to come. Finally got into a competitive matchup. They're going to rely on him. And did you say if this was PPR or not? I would say, again, may not matter, but I would probably lean towards McAllister no matter what. If it's non-PPR, it's a bit closer in my mind, but I would still go with McAllister. I'm a big McAllister believer. All right, still got 1 minute left. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in here. Let's do Todd Skids. He says, Kayshon Brown versus Syracuse, Nick McMillan versus UConn, Keenan Johnson versus New Mexico State. A few other guys, but one of these is likely. I'm curious to see. Oop, I just hit my mic. Sorry about that, y'all, if that came through. We got Nick McMillan. We got Keegan. Did I spell it right? Keegan Johnson. And then, oh, Kayshon Brown. Not as big of a fan of Kayshon Brown as I was to start the season. They're really splitting the ball up there a little bit more at Duke than I wanted to see them do this year. Nick McMillan, definitely one of the top two wide receivers for Buffalo. But again, he's splitting those targets with Victor Snow in a big way. Keegan Johnson pretty clearly was the top wide receiver for Keegan Johnson was clearly the top wide receiver for New Mexico, although he's been banged up. So again, it's a little hard to judge exactly what's going to happen there. Might be that we just, again, let's check these matchups real quick. Buffalo has got UConn, 49.5. Not such a great matchup there in terms of just over under. Let's see what the New Mexico school has got for us. 53.5. New Mexico favored by 14 points in this game. Woof. Woof, woof, woof. And then obviously, you know, Kayshon Brown versus Syracuse. Let me double check it. Maybe I feel like I'm making too much of an assumption about how that receiver rooms look for Duke so far this year. I don't remember. Okay, Keyshawn Brown's second in targets. It's not too terrible. Barkate definitely probably the most valuable option there. And given the targets here, it does seem like Keyshawn Brown is due for a touchdown. It's a high-scoring game. You know what? Forget all the crap I said about Keyshawn Brown. I would go with him over these other two guys, Todd. So that's my answer for you. All right. Let's see. I think that actually gets through all the questions. At least, like, the rest of the questions that I'm seeing here are all from people who already had a question answered tonight. So them's the rules. Unless we're struggling for questions at any point, I will only give one question per person tonight. But again, great questions tonight, y'all. Lots of great variety of thoughts and everything that we had to have tonight. So really, really appreciate you guys. And again, before you go, if you're still listening, if you have not hit the like button already, if you're not subscribed to the channel, make sure you go ahead and do so. With that being said, again, appreciate all of you guys joining us tonight. You guys have been great. And yeah, good luck in your week 5 matchups. It's going to be a hell of a weekend of football. Hopefully, again, hopefully we don't see some of these big time matchups turn into lopsided matchups one way or another. Should be a great weekend of football. Until then, really appreciate you guys. Make sure you tune in next week for more waiver wire picks and another stream for your start sick questions. Same time every single week. Really appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend. Great weekend.